From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona, just outside of the hotel. We'll go there live in just a moment. The NFL annual meeting continues on Tuesday. And welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Brian Sexton, Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. It's good to see you.
It's nice to see you. You think they serve good Tex-Mex at that Biltmore?
I'm going to think yes on that.
I'm just guessing.
And I'm sure John's had some of that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I know Patrick
has. I'm sure there's more to come.
And plenty of news to come out of this week. This is always a big week in the offseason calendar. It's turned into a bigger week in the last few years, but there's always something on the calendar. This is turned into a big event.
You know, you can almost just remove the season out of season type of designation because there's so much going on. There's very little. There's maybe a 2-month window where it's quiet time. The rest of it, obviously, you know, the combine is a big moment. Now's a big moment. The draft's a big moment. May will be big when guys start coming around for the OTAs. But this week, there's a lot on the calendar.
I guess the only real time that's down is that dead period at late June, early July, about 4 or 5 weeks where there's not a lot going on. But that's it.
That's
really. So, yeah, 11 months of the year, it's football.
And it won't be long before those weeks are gone also. The NFL is ever-expanding, as I'm sure we'll talk about.
Plenty to get to this week, of course. Jaguars headlines, the NFL annual meeting, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice, at Jaguars to get in on the show today. Let's go to the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, is live from Phoenix, Arizona. What's up, John?
Well, I'm here with a familiar face. Our readers, our viewers know Pete Prisco. And to be honest, Pete, we don't really like having you on that much anymore. We just like making you feel short. That's kind of our M.O.
I'm surprised J.P.'s not here on the other side of me, making me look even worse.
There's no Twin Towers today, one tower. No. So, and a minute ago, Brian Sexton, your good friend and J.P., were breaking some stuff down. So I can imagine you wish you were there back in Jacksonville to hear that.
There's another tall guy that would make me look short.
And I think the owners' meetings are always fascinating, Pete, because the combine is a little bit of a reset. But then you have a few weeks between that, and then you really have the chance to get into some league issues, and writers like yourself have a chance to really find out what they're going to be talking about. As you've been here, what have you been looking for, maybe off the beaten path of what everybody else is looking for?
Well, I mean, I think all these ideas to get rid of the extra point, what is the NFL doing? The game is fantastic the way it is. Why would you get rid of the extra point? It makes no sense to me.
How much time did you spend, and we talked about this last night, how much time in the last 10 years have you spent, and you complain about a lot, how much time have you spent complaining about the extra point?
Nothing. You know what the extra point is? It's a time for everybody to run to the bathroom during a game. That's what it is. I mean, why get creative? The game is great the way it is. You're overthinking things.
On a serious note, extra point aside, is there too much of that going on, just trying to tweak things beyond safety? Because I think you have to do something for safety, just for the integrity of the game going forward or the security of the game. But overall, are there too many little tweaks?
In that kind of thing, there is. But I like the idea of putting cameras on the sidelines, getting better views. If you want to make it right, you know, officiating, want to make it right.
So change is cool if you agree with it.
Change is good if I agree with it. You know, it's good. And Brian Sexton knows this. What's good for me is good for me.
Gotcha. Now, I heard there today, we were both in there for Gus, and you talked a little bit about the Borland issue, the retirement, and I imagine you're trying to get a story together on that. What have you heard, and I guess the direction you think that's going right now?
Well, there's great concern now, and there was an overreaction, an knee-jerk reaction last week. Football's dying when Chris Borland retires. I went to the Veteran Combine on Sunday here in Arizona. There were 105 guys who paid $400 for the opportunity and in their own expenses to train and show off their stuff. You know how many other guys got turned away? 1,900. Football isn't dying. That's one guy. He made a decision. Yes, some people are not going to allow their kids to play football because of fear of safety and all that. But the game will go on. There's still a ton of people who love to play football. Now they're trying to make it safer, and that I understand. Gus said that today. You know, he's been around it his whole life. Make the game safer, and they're trying to do that, but there's still going to be football.
Is there a chance, and we both covered the league during the time when they're always well paid, but now it's getting to the point where every guy who plays 4 or 5 years, or most guys who play 4 or 5 years, if they're smart, they're setting some money aside. Is it getting to the point where we may see more Patrick Willis a little shorter career maybe than you would have seen 4 or 5 years ago because of the money involved.
Yeah, and I don't think it's just because of the head injuries either. It's just the wear and tear on your body. I mean, if you can make $25 million and get out and still have your ability to walk around and not have to limp and gimp and have all these surgeries, then I can understand that. So, yeah, we might see that. But as far as the game dying, the grassroots efforts of football, it is not. You know, they keep saying it's boxing. No, it's not. These guys make a lot of money. There's only so many guys in boxing that make a lot of money.
Gotcha. Let's talk Jaguars a minute. I know you're tied in. You live in the area. We haven't really talked to you since free agency. And I talked to you on the side a little bit. They went after the target area, which we've both said for a long time. If you're going to go free agency 26 to 28, I assume you like that part of it. What else did you like about the Jaguars free agency?
I love Parnell at right tackle. I think that's what you want. A younger player whose best football is in front of him. You're not paying for what went behind, you know, what already happened. You're paying for what's in front of him. It's kind of like when Keenan McCardell came to the Jaguars. He hadn't done nothing. Everybody, who's he? Look what he did. Parnell's that kind of player. I think Thomas is a must-get for a team that needs a weapon in the middle of the field. Yeah, you spent a little too much money on him, so what? You had to spend it somewhere. You look at, you know, Skuda, to me, is a tough guy. He'll get him a little tougher. He's not a great player, but he's a tough guy. I think the house, the corner, and he, you know, he had a great game last year. You know, we're talking Jason Wilde from Green Bay. He had a great game last year against Julio Jones before he got hurt.
He's another guy that in some of this free agent class, it felt like scouting the draft a little bit, sort of projecting these guys, almost like maybe a second draft for that, I guess for those second three guys they signed.
Yeah, and then Audric is a tough guy. I mean, look, what they did is they got an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, so now they don't have to address that in the draft. Mm-hmm. They can, but they don't have to. You get a long linear corner who can go play with Colvin and McCray, and now you have three long corners, which they want in their defense. Right. You know, there's still some things lacking. Let's face it, you can't fix everything in free agency. They need an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. That's going to come in the draft. They need to get faster at linebacker. They'll probably come in the draft. You need a running back. That'll probably come in the draft. So you can't fix it all in free agency.
So the question I get all the time, Jaguars were good pass rushing last year. Why go after a pass rusher in the draft? I know the answer. You tell me your answer.
I don't think they were great as, you know, the numbers were probably better than they were as a pass rush unit. The pressures, they don't get a ton of pressures. They got sack, fumble, and they turned the ball over a little bit. But I don't think they're a dominant pass rushing unit. But you never, ever can have too many of them. Right. And so get the guy with his hand on the ground, sack, fumble, fourth quarter, game over. They don't have that guy.
And especially on the defensive line, it's okay to have more than one good player at a specific position because there's such rotation. You always hate a defensive line rotation, but that's the way it is in this league.
Yeah, I hate defensive rotation when you do it in key situations. I don't mind it to rest guys and stuff, but, you know, you see you got a team down in the second quarter, you got them down 14-0, and they can put the kill shot on them, and you rotate the backups, and they go down and make a 14-7. That I don't like, but I like the rotation.
The other thing you always loved was Brackens in coverage, remember?
Love Brackens in coverage. Can you imagine how much money that guy would make in this market? And, I mean, my God, if he was healthy, he'd be one of the highest-paid guys in the league.
Now, I'm sure you've looked ahead a little to the draft already. I know you've got thoughts all over the place in the draft. I guess first off is everybody's talking about number three. Let's talk number two, second round. Is running back an area where they have to go there, or are you a believer that can be found later on in the draft as well?
It's a deep, deep running back class. Now, if you're sitting there and you use your pick, and in my latest mock draft, I actually have them trading back with St. Louis. And
yeah, I saw your little trade. That's a cheat, but go ahead.
I got to change them up. I got to do one a week, right. So I got to change it up. That. But I think if they stay at three and Leonard Williams is there, they take him. If he's not there, then I think they get one of the edge rushers. And I think right now, if you pin me down, it would be Fowler. Right. So then you come back in the second round, and if Gurley somehow fouled to you, that's intriguing.
Okay.
That's intriguing. I'm not a running back guy, but that would be intriguing for that team.
And Leonard Williams, there's the argument. They signed Audric, and I'm not sure that Williams is a pure pass rusher in the sense of Fowler, Gregory, some of the guys we all know about. But you're of the opinion that he helps you enough that it's okay to take him at three because he's going to make you better.
He will be a pass rusher. He's not going to be a dominant edge pass rusher. He'll be Sheldon Richardson of the Jets, who gets double-digit sacks in his first two. I mean, he's going to be that kind of pass rusher. I hate to compare anybody to J.J. Watt, but when you watch his hands, and his hands are a lot like J.J. Watt's, and J.J. Watt is a finesse football player. He's not a power football player. He's a finesse football player. This kid has that ability.
And next time we have you on, I want you to wear your bright shirt. I know you left it at home. I got you.
Calm today.
I got you.
Son, I didn't want to, you know, ruin the moment.
I got you. Brian, JP, back to you.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. Prisco needs to bring a bright shirt next time, apparently. That's what the finish is.
Well, look at the sunglasses John's wearing. Maybe he needs better filtration.
Season tickets. Get more in 2015. Become a Jag season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. The stadium experience at Everbank Field recently voted number one by the fans in the league, and it's been noted, of course, at the owners' meetings this week. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today, 633-2000. Let's get to a few of these topics that have come out nationally after the annual meeting or during the annual meeting in Phoenix. I guess the one that really affects the Jaguars most is the announcement of the London game on digital platforms except in Western New York and Jacksonville. They'll still be over-the-air television here and in Buffalo. But everywhere else in the world, it'll be available only online.
Well, I mean,
it's the future.
Yeah,
right?
It really is. And I can remember sitting in this studio 15 years ago and listening to Vic Ketchman talk about how there was going to be a pay-per-view revolution eventually in the NFL. And it didn't seem plausible at the time because the television contracts just got bigger and bigger every time they renewed them. But if you read, and it's nothing between the lines, they're very blunt. They're looking for new revenue streams. That's what this is. People are going to be able to dial up a game. And it won't matter where you are in the world. Time obviously will. But your phone, I mean, mine's a little bit bigger than yours.
Mine still works.
Yeah, but right. You can watch almost anything, anytime. Not just YouTube now. There's a thing on mine. I've got a T-Mobile subscription, and I can lock into the channels that they have arrangements with, and I can watch live, you know, Fox News or ESPN or whatever it is that I'm looking to watch. So it's no mistake. These guys are going in the right direction with it, and they understand where the future is.
And the Jaguars will be the first kind of on the cutting edge of that.
Which is cool. Yeah. I mean, they have tried to become a cutting-edge franchise, and they're doing that in many respects since Shad Khan and Mark Lamping and that crew took over. And it just makes sense that this would be the next one. You know, one last thought on this.
Yeah.
For Christmas, got a TV to hang outside, and it is a smart TV. And more prominent than the photo, used to buy a TV, right, to be a picture of a football player on it?
Yeah, sure.
Are all the logos across the bottom. Hulu, I mean, some I don't even know what they are. But it's more of a big screen phone than it is a TV anymore. And if you think about it like that, this is just absolutely, you know, the most common sense approach, especially for the NFL where content is king and they are king right now.
Sounds pretty awesome coming up in October. Now, there might be people outside of the market that could be upset initially, but everybody has a phone, right? I mean, you know?
A phone, a TV.
And something that streams to a TV, most folks probably have that now. Or if you don't, you probably will.
You know, with this thing now, I can flip it and I can send it, you know, from my phone to my TV. I don't know how to do it.
I was about to say.
But it's here.
In theory.
My 14-year-old son knows how to do that.
You can do
exactly.
That. Staying on the TV, the league has also announced that there will be no blackout policy enforced next season only. They could go back to it in 2016. Well, there were no blackouts in the league last year, and this really doesn't matter for the Jaguars.
No. You know, Mark Lamping said that since Shad Khan bought the team, they were doing away with the concept and they weren't going to make it an issue at all. The truth of the matter is that the owners always use the blackout as a means to drive ticket sales late in the week. Those games where the Jaguars were talking about blacking them out or black them out, they would see a significant uptick on Friday afternoon and Saturday for tickets, especially if they black them out. Well, in recent years, what owners have done have said, let's figure out a way to get people to turn the TV off and come sit in the stands. Hence, the huge screens, the enormous deck with the swimming pools. You mentioned earlier that the fan experience here is highly, highly rated. Well, the Jaguars took a little ridicule when the screens were unveiled a year ago, but the fact of the matter is every owner in the league is going to do what the Jaguars have done. So the blackout doesn't matter. They're being proactive for reasons to come here as opposed to, you know, trying to hold the hammer above your head and say you've got no shot to see it because, quite honestly, there's so many other things I can watch if you don't show me my football game. Give me a reason to come and sit in your stadium, buy your hot dogs, drink your beer, pay for your parking, buy a T-shirt, and that's what they're doing, as opposed to saying, well, go to your phone and watch something else.
The national narrative on this would a lot of times include the Jaguars and the Tarps and all this stuff. Probably you'll hear that a lot, but in reality, the last Jaguars blacked out game, December 13th, 2009.
It's hard to believe it's been that long because for a a short time there. I mean, it was the story.
That's right.
Now,
and it was a story. It was a very,
it was prominent.
Absolutely,
it was prominent. And we've told the Tarp story forever, and that is that it's it's too big of a stadium in many respects. And what the Jaguars have done is make the stadium fit their marketplace. You know, you can go to Washington and put 80,000 seats in. Well, you could at one point in time. But now, again, phones, content, things to see and do. Boy, you put 80,000 seats almost anywhere, and you're going to fight to fill it up. But 60, 65 seems to work. So the reality of it is that what they've done here is put a product in terms of the game day. The football product is still a work in progress, and we can talk about that ad nauseum. But they put a game day product together that has drawn people in. They've sold tickets. They've worked hard and built a sales staff to help sell more tickets. They are being very proactive, which is why, as you mentioned off the top, the blackout policy doesn't really matter because the Jaguars were going to be proactive around it anyway. Now what they're saying is the rest of the league is going to follow the example and be proactive also.
We'll go back to John Osier in Phoenix here in just a moment and catch up with the senior writer. Busy day out there today. Gus Bradley had his breakfast this morning. The AFC coaches' breakfast is
Huevos
always,
Rancheros.
I'm sure they had some of that there.
A little salsa on the side.
Shad Khan spoke to the Jacksonville media today as well. We'll get some thoughts from John Osier about that coming up. Los Angeles, if not the topic of the week out there, it's certainly a big one. And it's just really a matter of time now and how many teams go to L.A., it seems like.
We talk about a hammer that was hanging over this franchise's head for a generation. As long as that marketplace was open, there was conversation that the Jaguars, which at a point in time were a team with their hand out looking for revenue sharing, would go to a market where they would be a team that would be handing out money, right? They were the prime example, whether it was the Tarps, however you looked at it. And now they're not even anywhere, not even a footnote, oh, by the way. And again, Shad said in his news conference a little while ago, and I know Mark Lamping has said it repeatedly, they have worked really hard to take them out of the conversation. Whether it's the money they've pumped into the stadium or the Shipyards project, whatever it's been, they have been proactive, and it's not an accident that they're not part of the equation. You've been to, I call it Jack Murphy Stadium still, but Qualcomm Stadium, mm-hmm. It's a dump. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute dump, and it has been. Since the first time the Jaguars went out there in 2004, and I said, how in the world can they compete? There's so many people and so much money in San Diego and so much opportunity. How in the world do they compete in this situation? They can't. If there's one stadium worse, it's Oakland. That place right. is freaking terrible.
Yep.
So you've got situations right now, and in St. Louis, they're playing in the Cervantes Convention Center, which is no better. So now all of a sudden what you've got is you've got three terrible stadiums. This one here is not so bad.
Let's go back to the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix, catch up with John Osier again. John, are you there?
I am here, and I'm with Peter Schrager of Fox Sports 1. And a spoiler alert, we're going to have action here at some point because we're waiting for Jeffrey Lurie over there, and Peter's got to go get him. So very quickly, we talked earlier, you like a lot about what the Jaguars are doing, particularly in the area of coaching.
Yeah, I think this is year three for Gus Bradley, and this is the year where all that positivity, all that energy, the great stuff going on as far as positivity in that room, now it has to actually deliver with results. And I think you add in a former head coach in Doug Marrone as an offensive line coach. You add in Nathaniel Hackett, who's a guy up in Buffalo everyone spoke very well about. And these are quiet additions to a team that already had a really good coaching staff. Jaguars did some good work in free agency. They got the number 3 overall pick. Gus, I'm telling you, I cover all these guys, 32 coaches. Gus Bradley might be my favorite one. And the players who play for him love him, dating back to Seattle. So I think it all comes together. And there's, we always say in this time, everyone's a Super Bowl champion. But for the Jaguars, some real optimism there. Tough division, but that's a really positive place to be right now.
And I speak a little bit to the patience that Shad Khan has shown, because it's tough to go 3-4 wins. Sure. And yet there has been a patience, and he even said this morning, a belief in the process.
Yeah, the process is huge, right? So you look at Cleveland, they flip coaches every year, Oakland, okay, well, now we got to fire Dennis Allen, we're going to bring in Jack Dover. There seems to be this, hey, we're not, for an owner like Khan, who, we don't know a long track record of what he's, for him to be patient, know that Gus Bradley's the guy, trust the process, see the light when you win a game against the Titans on Thursday night, or you beat the Giants, and see those moments and say, all right, instead of just pulling the plug on this and starting from scratch, let's work on this. We're building. Let's let it blossom. Let's see it develop. I love it. I mean, you go, whether it's, Jerry Sullivan. I mean, there's guys in that building. There's young kids. You know, Tony Sorrentino works on the offense. He's a real good guy. And then the front office, Dave Caldwell, he had help from Izzy. I like what's going on in Jacksonville. All the pieces are there. They're in a tough division. The NFL's tough, man.
Right. Now, very quickly over to the owners, because Steve Jeffrey's not there yet. Yeah. What or is maybe your biggest thought so far out of this league meeting? I know you come here looking for certain ideas. You got things in mind. Has anything struck you didn't expect?
The L.A. stuff's interesting. I didn't think we'd have as much momentum and buzz and rapid progress into that as we have, where they're, you know, Robert Kraft on Tuesday afternoon is saying that he thinks there's going to be two teams playing in Los Angeles by 2016. That's unbelievable. The rule stuff is whatever. And then I look at some of the different teams and, you know, the noise that's been made. I was very curious to see what's going on in San Francisco. Spoke to a lot of their guys. Seems like they're happy with what they have in-house, regardless of all changes this offseason. And then, obviously, in Philadelphia, we're awaiting the owner of the Eagles over there. But, you know,
that'll be a good show.
Yeah, Philadelphia right now. You want to talk about an interesting team. They flipped front office and personnel innovation on its head, and I'm curious who it is. So with the Jaguars, you have a process. It's a long play, right? Eagles flipped it all over. They kept the same people in-house, so we'll see what happens.
And you mentioned Los Angeles. You're a national guy, and fans of the Jaguars a long time have always cringed reading national guys because they've always associated the Jaguars with Los Angeles or that sort of a move. Now it's significant for our market that that's not said anymore.
Right, it's out of the picture, right? So you can take a deep breath. I don't know what that means for Jacksonville's long-term future. Sure. I just know L.A. is not in the conversation right now. It's between three teams, and it might have two teams, it might have one, but certainly doesn't seem like the Jaguars are going to L.A. So I think everyone can just kind of get their popcorn, sit back, and watch like the rest of us and see how it plays out.
Final thing, give me your 1-2-3 mock draft.
1-2-3. Number one, I think Winston to Tampa. Number two, although Ken Wisenhunt today was talking awfully well about Mariota, I still think they go Leonard Williams. And number three, I think you guys take Dante Fowler out of the University of Florida. Local kid, high motor, comes off the edge. I think that's what's missing on the Jacksonville defense that Gus had in Seattle is that pass rusher. And I think if you can get either Fowler or Williams at three, you're in a good place.
Peter, I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's awesome, John.
Go get Jeffrey Lurie, and I appreciate it. Back to JP and Brian.
Our thanks to Pete Prisco and Peter Schrager. Peter Schrager from Fox Sports. And I don't think we've had Peter on this air before. I know that Pete comes on all the time. But
and I have seen Pete Schrager. He was at USC Pro Days. And I tell you, I heard Pete Prisco say it earlier, and I said it yesterday on radio, and I just heard Pete Schrager talk about Leonard Williams. Yeah,
you're in love with this
guy. Well, I just think
Man crush might be a term for you.
If you love football and you love good football players, you'd be in love with this guy. He is terrific. You don't pass on those guys. I know there's some people talking about trading back and getting picks. No, only if Leonard's gone and Mariota's there do you do that. If Williams is there, you take Williams.
It's a man crush. It's okay. Just admit it.
What don't you like about 6'5", 300 pounds with great hands?
It's okay.
Incredible explosive ability.
Let's go back to Phoenix, catch up with John Osier. And, John, it's been a busy day out there already with Gus Bradley talking this morning at the AFC coaching breakfast.
Shad
Khan talked about an hour ago, right? And what were some of the highlights of Shad today?
Yeah, I have to interrupt. We have to go back a little bit. Is there ever been a bigger example of pro day love than Brian Sexton right now? He goes to one pro day, and Leonard Williams is the guy.
I am lobbying openly for him to be the guy if he's there at three. Just consider that, because I like good football players.
Yeah. Is it pro day or is it man crush or both?
We've all done pro day, love.
Yeah.
First pro day, you always fall in love. I like it.
Well, you know, I'm going to go on record here as saying the guy's going to be a terrific football player. I know that's a reach. I know I'm stepping way out there. But if you get the chance to get a terrific football player, I think you do it.
John, let's talk a little bit about Shad Khan's comments today. You know, Mark Lamping talked yesterday about the state of the franchise and that, but I'm sure Shad's happy with the direction of the front office these days.
Well, it's so significant because, again, what happens is you have different access points to these guys. And we had a chance to talk to Mark yesterday, had a chance to talk to Shad today. It was the first chance since the Shipyards announcement to talk to Shad. And you can tell that after the season's over with a little time to think, they are very pleased with the organization and the direction it's going, particularly on the business side. I mean, they all get that 7 wins is not enough, but in 2 seasons. But they continue to like, especially the fan experience polls. There's the NFL fan engagement, where they're in the top four of eight categories, and they are starting to get legitimate feedback from teams that maybe 2 or 3 years ago didn't really look toward the Jaguars for anything because they didn't know what the Jaguars were about. Now they're getting phone calls from people. There are people asking about the fan experience. That's significant stuff, and it's things that are starting to tilt the direction. We've all felt it. You know, we're around the team every day, so we see Mark Lamping, we see Shad, we see Dave, and we get that it's a different organization than it was 3 years ago. But I think the things like the fan polls and people calling the team, those are the things that people nationally start to hear and feel, and there's definitely – that's definitely the vibe, the storyline, whatever – from the Jaguars' perspective at the owners' meeting so far this week.
You know, John, I know that you heard Gus earlier at his breakfast and the conversation about the two tight ends, two very different tight ends. Mercedes Lewis has a cap figure of just over $8 million, and now you've got a tight end in Julius Thomas, who's quarterback, $9.2 million. So you got about $17 million tied up in two tight ends, which might seem heavy. And so I think a lot of people are leaning towards – pulling the trigger and letting Mercedes go. But you and I talked earlier this season, why does that make sense when you've got a really good football player and you're trying to have a really good football team? I think Mercedes plays a different role and he fits,
yeah.
Don't you?
It's really one of those that wouldn't surprise me either way. It would not shock me at all to see something done with Mercedes in terms of a trade before the draft, just because that's sometimes what happens when you get two guys with that kind of cap number at the same spot. But I'm with you, Brian. This situation where this team does not have enough elite-level athletes, and for whatever shortcomings Mercedes has had, he is a guy that in some capacity you have to account for. So Gus talked today that there is a way they can coexist. Their strengths do not ride over the top of one another. And there are certainly plays in Greg Olsen's offense that can fit with both of these guys on the field at the same time. So does it stand to reason that it would either be some sort of salary reduction or some sort of trade? You know, that's conventional wisdom. But if that just doesn't make sense, there's no reason these guys can't be on the same team.
Well, and when you've got as much salary cap room as the Jaguars have this year, even after their signing spree at the beginning of free agency, you know, there's no reason to jettison a football player who can help you. You'd like him to take less money if he's not going to be the primary guy. But you don't have to, and that kind of flexibility is overlooked in many cases by people that just want to move it out for the salary reasons.
Yeah, it is. And again, I've said all along, this team does not have so many great players on it yet that you're needing to cut guys who in some capacity can make plays. So I would be one to say keep Mercedes Lewis, but, you know, it's hard to know between now, the draft, after the draft, exactly what will happen at that spot.
John Osier live from the Arizona Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix. Let's go back to Shad Khan's comments a little bit today. He's always going to be asked about London, and this is year three or four coming up. And, of course, the news came out that about the broadcast of the game will be online only outside of Jacksonville and Western New York for the Bills game. What else was about London? Anything about moving forward? Were there any questions or answers about what might happen after the 4 years, or was he open to talking about that today?
Well, I think the overriding theme has stayed the same since London in November, and that's that clearly Shad wants that to be a piece of the puzzle. He wants there to be a presence in London, and he believes wholeheartedly that that strengthens the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Now, he has also said he's going to talk to the league. He's going to push for it. I don't see any reason why there won't be a Jaguars home game in London for the foreseeable future. Shad didn't give any hard, fast information like, yes, I've talked to Roger Goodell and I've got a secret handshake. There's nothing like that. But it just sort of continues the theme. Every time Shad has been asked about London, it's clear that he believes that those two walk hand in hand with each other. It was interesting, the topic was brought up by Ryan O'Halloran of the Times Union, that there is some talk about other cities in Europe and the NFL getting involved with there. Certainly the NFL wants that. Shad didn't give any, you know, he didn't say, no way do I do something else. But he said London and Jacksonville, he wants a second fan base built in London in addition to the one in Jacksonville. That's not quoting, that's paraphrasing, but that was the gist of what he was saying about London today. London's a part of what this team wants to do, and they have to see exactly how it fits, some details with it, but it's a part of this.
John Osier from Phoenix, Arizona. Well done, as always. Good couple of days of work out there. We'll look forward to seeing you back here in town, bud.
Look forward to seeing you, JP, as always. You too, right, Brian.
Thanks.
There he goes, John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. Join us Thursday night, Jaguars Thursday Radio, 6 to 7 p.m. Tony Boselli, Jeff Logan with me every Thursday at 6, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. So the owners' meetings are winding down now.
We didn't even get to talk about the PAT.
Yeah, or lack thereof.
Well,
right?
We didn't get to talk about the instant replay either.
Well, we'll have to get to it another time.
I'm looking forward to that.
And you can read John's writing on Jaguars.com. For John Osier, our thanks to Pete Prisco, Peter Schrager as well, for Brian Sexton and everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.